Radio for Catholic Life to start your day. It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio. With Glenn Leverins, here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. It's Wednesday, October 22nd, 2014, 5 minutes after the hour, Morning Air on Relevant Radio. John Harper, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, remember when you were growing up and your parents would say something to you, especially your dad, and you would just say, you know, when I'm old enough to have kids, I will never say that to my kids. And then all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, I'm becoming my, where have I heard this script before? I'm becoming my dad, right? It
happens to all of us.
Well, now I sound like my dad when we bring Mark Bauerlein into the conversation here. We're talking about kids, America's youth. Let's just label that for the sake of this conversation. Anybody under the age of 30 here in a digital culture. You think, well, that's an absolute perfect fit. Digital culture, young adults, they get it. This is the future. Wait a minute, not so fast. We may be sounding like our fathers here. And how many times, I think, Glenn, have we said this? It's like, oh my gosh, what's the next generation going to be like? We've said this in the last week, come to think about it, with, you know, they're just tech. Nobody knows how to talk. Nobody knows how to write. How is that possible? Mark has written a book, The Dumbest Generation, How the Digital Age Stupefies Young Americans and Jeopardizes Our Future. Mark, you stole that from our show. You were listening to our conversation last week. Welcome to Morning Air.
I was. So here I am, and we'll continue talking.
Okay, that's good. That's good. And it does kind of defy belief because we think, well, you know, they're so technologically savvy, anybody under the age of 30. Hey, listen, just ask your kids under the age of 10 to fix something with your smartphone and they'll do that. And the irony of having smartphones in a dumb generation, Mark.
Well, this is why we call them the digital natives. You know, we're at a very threshold moment where pretty soon, as time passes and one generation passeth away, we will end up with no more living memory of a time before cell phones and laptops, tablets, computers, the whole bit. Everyone will be a so-called digital native, that is, surrounded by screens from age 6 months forward. And I think that we're in danger of losing a critical perspective on these tools because they're so handy, they're fun, they please us with what they provide, they entertain us. And so many people, especially young people, are so connected. They're so immersed. They're so attached to their screens and their devices that I worry that a lot of the intellectual and spiritual habits that preceded the advent of those tools may be deteriorating.
And you would think that another thing that we could add to that list, Mark, would be just insular because, you know, our world becomes us and nobody else because the world is brought to our screens. So why should I have any other human contact?
That's right. I mean, you know, young people, teenagers, they don't like to be alone. They feel very lonely often. And they can go up in their rooms now at midnight, and they can go online. They can look at pictures of the party last weekend. They can send out pictures of themselves to their friends. They can tweet. They can get tweets from all the celebrities that they follow. So they can fill up that lonely space with all this virtual connection, which most of the time is not real connection. And to bring it down to spiritual matters, when they are flooded with so much digital contact, I mean, after all, teenagers who have a mobile device of some kind send or receive 3,300 text messages each month. That's on average. Some of them are more over 10,000 per month. They still do several hundred phone calls a month. They frequently just have the computer on streaming videos or they have the TV on as well. So they are immersed in the digital tools, and they can do it anywhere they want. They can conduct a social life while sitting in the back seat of their parents' car while driving on the Pennsylvania Turnpike way out in western Pennsylvania. They can shut the door at midnight and close out the rest of the house and make that quiet room a social space, not a private space. And so it can become a hyper-social life. And then let's remember, what do 15-year-olds care about? I mean, the web provides miraculous materials for a history and of the Bible, of geography. I mean, all the known universe of art and knowledge and civilization is there. It's a window for them that we never enjoyed when we were that age. I'm 55 years old. But that's not what 15-year-olds care about. They care about other 15-year-olds. It is an intensely peer-conscious, peer-pressure world for them. And so these tools are ways of managing that need, that desire, that interest that helps them get by among their friends. And the bad thing about this is, I've written about this at First Things magazine, is that this social contact is actually removing the fundamental experience of prayer. You can't pray as part of a multitasking menu. You can't pray when you have text messages and emails dinging on your laptop right there at your desk. You can't pray if you're thinking about your friends. You need the time to go out of the world a little bit and be alone and have God as your only companion. You pray with others, of course, but there has to be some solitude for this as well. The digital age for the young keeps them in the world 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It doesn't have to. We have great web materials. We have great YouTube videos from the 1950s. We have websites of faith, and we have great radio available online. But again, the social pressure of youth turns their eyes and ears in another direction. And I think it's only getting worse. My Dumbest Generation book came out a few years ago. And, you know, the next things to come along have only aggravated the problem. And people are tuned out. It's not just America. It's all over the world, in China, in some of the cities. They've actually marked out lanes on the sidewalk where people doing text messaging can walk. So they don't run into things, run into other people. In London, they actually wrapped some of the poles, the light poles and sign poles. They wrapped them with rubber because people kept running into them and banging their foreheads.
Wow. Are people literally walking, going into the walls here as we talk with Mark Bauerlein on America's youth living in the digital culture? Does this describe your teens? What do you do to manage all the digital devices and your teens at the same time to simply have a conversation with them and also to get them grounded in the Catholic faith? 877-766-3777. Join the conversation. 877-766-3777. How do you manage your teens and all the digital devices under your roof? 877-766-3777. So Mark, as we continue the conversation here at 14 after the hour, how do we get this genie back in the bottle?
Well, I have a 9-year-old, and it's very simple. I'm building a big bubble in the backyard, and I'm going to put him in, and I'm not going to let
him. There you go. It's Travolta's boy in the bubble. Got it. Yeah, exactly.
You know, we can, I mean, we'll talk to viewers, those who do have teenagers, and we all suffer this. We see this. I mean, I'm a teacher as well, and the thing that really got me going on this issue was about 10 years ago, 8 years ago maybe, just sitting out on the quad. I'm at Emory University. And in Atlanta, and out on the quad between classes, and I noticed that more than 50% of the students were walking from building to building, class to class, with their faces focused on that screen. They'd been out of the network for an hour or two, and they needed to know, well, what's been going on in the last hour. Do I have any messages? Let me check my Facebook page. Are people meeting down? My friends are meeting at Starbucks down the street, and I'm not there. I want to be there. And the thing was, what I saw on their faces, and look at this. When someone checks in, watch their faces. You do not see joy, expectation. You see a little bit of uncertainty, consternation.
It's a blank stare.
They don't know. Where am I? Things have been going on. I mean, this is one thing. You can't just withdraw and say, I'm out of it, because pictures are still going around. Messages are still coming in. People are still making contact. Updates are still happening, whether you're there or not. So if you go away, then you just think, I've been out for 4 hours. There's going to be a lot waiting for me. And again, I'm not sure of what it's going to be. You know, is it going to be I missed out on something? Has there been a breakup among my friends and all the gossip is flying back and forth? I don't know. So this is the hard part for them. They never feel that it stops. It's a dynamic all the time world. When Pew Research did it studies teens a lot and digital technology, it was amazing. More than 80% of them have slept with the cell phone on, under the pillow, or right next to their bed. They want to wake up at 2 in the morning if something comes through, because it could be critical. There's a lot of anxiety attached to these tools. I mean, kids love it, but they also feel it's a form of security. It's a way for them to try to maintain themselves in that often difficult and harsh world of high school.
The electronic security blanket now with Mark Bauerlein. We're talking about the American youth, maybe your kids, probably your kids. And listen, for how many of us adults, same thing, where we're just wrapped in the digital culture now. And how do we break out of that? And especially, how does that apply to our faith and getting your kids grounded in the faith, even though they may have their heads buried in their electronic devices? We'll continue about talking about that with Mark, and also hear about his faith journey as we continue. 877-766-3777. How are you managing the digital realm of your home and getting your kids out of their iPhones, out of their tablets, out of their computers, out of texting, and more into the context of what's going on in life, in your family, and in their faith life as well? What are you doing? Love to hear your success stories. 877-766-3777 as we continue at 18 after the hour. Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
Yo. Cut it.
We're connected at 20 after the hour. John Harper and Glenn Leverins, Morning Air on Relevant Radio, Wednesday, October 22nd, 2014. Where are your teens right now? Are they buried in an electronic device? American youth living in a digital culture. We're talking about that with Mark Bauerlein, a professor at Emory University. So, Mark, you've got a 9-year-old. How are you managing the electronic devices, and how are you getting that 9-year-old grounded for the future?
Well, we read when Jack was small, and I'd read to him all the time. My wife would read to him, and he loves books. He enjoys stories. I still read to him. I think it's important, actually, to parents to read to their children up until age 11 or 12 years. But, you know, if we get in a good critical hour of reading time, and we have some conversation time, I talk to him about things going on at school. He's working on the Archangel Raphael right now. We talk about that. And he's in Catholic fourth grade. So if we get that, then, John, it's okay if he goes online. Mm-hmm. If we have an hour, 1 hour of book time, of downtime, non-screen time, he likes the Lego website, a lot of the videos there. We watch some old movies sometimes, the Marx Brothers. That's fine. I don't think that this is all that hard. Simply to plant one hour of books, and then time. I don't mind watching, listening to the radio, watching TV if it is intelligent discourse. That's fine. But the key here is not to lose that critical mass of quiet reading, linear, slow focus on books. That's the key. And if we retain that, then again, my son can go ahead and do a little bit of the wee, a little. You can't. I think it's a mistake to try to expel all this completely. But
just give it perspective.
Give it perspective and mark off how this is really time we're together.
Yeah.
We're talking. And we make it so that our kids like the reprieve, to know that they have an hour or two, often at night, where everything can slow down and we can say our prayers. We can be out of the world in a little in small ways. And I actually think that young people crave this relief. A lot of times they will go to these digital tools because they don't have that intimacy and love and togetherness and companionship and prayer. They don't.
Because very often, Mark, mom and dad are running around as well. So, I mean, if the example from mom and dad is that they're overprogrammed, what would you expect from the kids?
They you know, the sad fact is they like the tools because it's a babysitter. You know,
it gives them
a break. And this is one of the problems with a lot of parenting in today's world, where people are busy. We have a lot of single parentage. It's very hard for a single parent to hold these tools in check in the home, because that parent has to cook and clean and go to work and prepare for school the next day, and so the TV and the website give space. You've got to bring it down, and you got to sit in your kid's room. My son sits and plays Legos often while I read, and if I stop reading, he doesn't like the dad. Keep reading.
I love it.
This should be something that is looked forward to, and it is an alternative. Here with me, here with your parents, here with God, you have a reliable, dependable, loving situation. There's no peer pressure stuff going on. There is no gamesmanship. This is the place where you can call yourself physically and spiritually at home. Now you can go out in the world stronger, more confident,
right,
and you will develop that critical perspective. A little distance
and with that spiritual grounding as well, because it's appropriate we're having this conversation, Mark, especially in the couple of minutes we have remaining in today's gospel reading. The Lord gives us yet another example about the importance of being ready. And I can't find it in the Bible, at least not quite yet. There is no passage in there that says the Lord's going to text when he comes the second time. So
I gotta
look at your smartphone.
Hold on,
for
let me
that.
Google that.
You want to just quickly Google that, just see. Maybe I've missed that.
You know, remember how often? I mean, those key moments when Jesus says, "I have to go away and be alone. I need time," and that should be an example for us. We are in church together. We pray together. We say grace together over meal. But there must be some time when you can be alone with God. That's crucial. So,
right, it makes everything else just simply vacant without that. It just saps the absolute life after everything. We're running out of time, Mark. This is such a fascinating conversation. We've only scratched the surface. Plus, we want to hear your conversion story. Would you come back again very soon on Morning Air so we can continue this conversation?
Anytime. I love Relevant Radio.
That's great. We appreciate that. Mark, thank you. We look forward to talking to you again soon. Hear more about how you're raising Jack and setting a great example for other parents as well of just raising kids in a digital age, but also raising kids in a digital age with a very strong faith formation. And would love to hear your conversion story as well. Mark, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Mark Barreline, American Youth in a Digital Culture. DumbestGeneration.com. Check out that website, DumbestGeneration.com. We don't mean to put down kids, but just kind of give you some perspective. We'll bring Mark back on and talk some more parenting. We'll go live to the Vatican with Ashley Nerona coming up in the next half hour.